EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Connor.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, good.
And was there anybody at Sun above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this.
It's a UFO.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? You were just called about the UFOs we saw.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls?
Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Nick Hunter. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. We got Ronnie coming on all the way from Texas. But first, let's do the iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. This week, big shout out to Ollie the Tank from Canada and Saturn69 from the US. Keep them reviews coming in as it helps us out in the iTunes charts. Our guest tonight is Ronnie Dawson, and he comes to us from Texas. Ronnie works as an oil tanker driver and encountered a strange UFO while working one night. Welcome to the show, Ronnie.
Thank you, Nick. It's good to be here on UFO Chronicles. I appreciate you letting me come in here and do this.
Appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. It's an honor.
If you would, could you start by letting the audience know when your first encounter happened, please, sir, and the events that transpired after?
Okay. Yes, my name is Ronnie Dawson. I'm a UFO alien experiencer, and my story is it all started in about 2009. I'm just really an old truck driver. I work out in the oil fields of Central Texas, and I live in a rural community called Ranger, Texas, which is about 80 miles west of the DFW area. And I was kind of a skeptical about UFOs altogether because I work out here in the middle of the night and stuff, and I hadn't seen anything in over 25 years of hauling crude oil in rural locations at night. I haven't seen anything. So I was kind of a UFO skeptic. And I know about 2008, they had a mass sighting in Stephenville, Texas down here, which is about 45 miles south of me. And that night I seen a light. It was a really bright star, and I got my Google star map out, and I was going to see what star that was, and then it just disappeared. And then the next day I heard about the mass UFO sighting down there. But I didn't really see anything until about 2009. About 2009, March of 2009, I started seeing a lot of lights moving about the treetops out in these rural locations where there's nobody lives around there, and it couldn't be a drone or anything like that because it's just woods. I mean, if you try to fly a drone out there, you'd lose it. It's just, it'd be stuck in a treetop somewhere or so. And these lights moving amongst the trees, and it just unable to explain what it was. And then they would just blink out. And then I seen them, they'd come on and they'd drop 100 feet straight down, land in a field. And then they'd pop straight up 100 feet and then be joined by a second one and then just blink out. So there was some weird activity going on in my area. And it was, at times, you couldn't go out without seeing it. It was almost out there. Every night, it was like you just see one instance of something really strange that you couldn't explain. And then one night I was traveling south to Cisco, Texas on 183, and I seen these huge row of lights come on about, they were so big and bright. They were probably 15 miles ahead of me, but they were so huge that I just couldn't imagine what could be that big. And then all of a sudden, three of them broke off. And they traveled about a quarter mile to my left, and they were hovering over a field, and a blue light shot down to the field. And I was driving my truck down the highway, watching all this, digging around, looking for a camera. I had like an accident camera in the truck, and I was digging around trying to find it. And I looked over in the blue light, and I seen something dark blue in the middle of it, about 30 feet off the ground. And I thought, that is odd. What is that? And then all of a sudden, I realized I could see it clearly. It was a cow. It was 30 feet off the ground. It was whipping its head from side to side. And I thought, oh, my God, it's a cow, man. And then it kind of freaked me out. I got scared, and I was thinking about pulling the truck over and just watching all this. And then after I seen the cow, I thought, you know, I might be next, man. So I just really want to get out of here. So my heart was about to jump out of my chest, and I just put my foot in it, and I just tried to get out of there. And, you know, and I was sitting there thinking, what on earth? Because within about 2 minutes, it had broke off the big ship. It moved over a field. It dropped a blue beam to the ground. And within 2 minutes, it already had a cow 30 feet up in the air sucking it up. You know, there's no helicopter could do that. You know, nobody could go harpoon a cow that quickly and that distance and have it already 30 feet up in the air and be sucking it up into a helicopter. So there's no, you know, at this point, I was pretty sure what I was looking at was not from around here. And with some of the stuff I had been seeing, I was certain of it, you know. So and that was the first thing I'd really seen that just shocked me. And I was reporting all this stuff to MUFON, making MUFON reports. And they were saying, man, you got to get some pictures. You got to get some pictures. And I went out and I got me in 2011, the Samsung Condor was about as good of, it was like a military grade camera. And it was the best camera you could get at the time. So I got the best camera that I could afford. And this thing actually had video capability. So. And I thought, you know, this is pretty cool. It takes video, but the video it takes is really low resolution so that you can send it in text messages and stuff. But it was a camera. It was one of the first cameras that actually could take video. So, and, you know, I thought that was pretty cool at the time. So I was definitely armed for some of the stuff I was seeing. And mostly of what I was seeing was just, you couldn't really see the craft. You could see you could see weird lights and moving lights. And it was like the craft was completely dark and you just couldn't see it. I just kept seeing them, you know, and I had my phone and I tried to get a picture and I'd pull my phone out and it was almost like they were watching me back. And as soon as I had my phone up and pointed at them, they would just blink out. They would disappear. Boy, it was really frustrating trying to get a picture of these things. One of the sightings was a daylight sighting, and it was very late in the afternoon, and I could see a rural farmer house out here, and there was a big black, I thought it was a cloud of smoke hovering over it. I thought, man, this place might be on fire. I'm going to go up on this next ridge. I was coming out with a load of oil, and I looked over there at the house, and all of a sudden, it was big, black, and hazy, and not a well-defined-looking craft, and then all of a sudden, these big white lights like I had seen in the other craft came on in the middle of it, and I thought, my God, that's not a fire. That's a UFO hovering over this place, and then it was like they seen me, too. They started moving off, and I had a camera with me, and I had a pretty good camera I was carrying with me, and the batteries were charged. And the lens opened up on that thing, and then it just froze up, and the batteries were dead. And this thing was moving off in daylight, and I couldn't get a picture of it. And I was just frustrated. I was frustrated I couldn't get that shot. But this was the second sighting I had had in 7 days. So I called this buddy of mine. His name was Alan Archisell. And I said, hey, man, I have seen like two UFOs, actual UFOs, in the last 7 days. I said, I want you to go UFO watching with me, and I came about this green laser pointer. It's like a classroom pointer, but it's way more powerful, 250 megawatts or milliwatts. It was a pretty powerful, bright green laser, and I had this idea that I could point it at the craft, and I could do a test. You know, if you're getting to see a UFO, you need to do something substantial, like do some sort of test on it to find out something about the craft's propulsion system. And I come up with this idea. I could shoot this laser at this craft, and I could see if the beam deviated. And then if my buddy could catch this beam deviation on camera, we would really have some solid UFO evidence to show the critics and skeptics and stuff. And so that was the plan. And anyway, I didn't think we was going to see anything. We're up there. We decided to go to his backyard. Is up on a hill on the rural edge of Ranger, and it's really dark. Great place to star watch and stuff like that. So. And I didn't think we were going to see anything. And we had heard a few jets in the area, and I thought nothing's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, my buddy's the one that seen it. He goes, my God, man. He goes, look at that. What is that? And I looked over there, and there was four big old lights had came on. Just, it was in the darkness. It just came on. And they were probably 300 or 400 yards from us. And I said, my God, Al, that's it. That's what we're trying to get. So I grabbed my green laser, and I pointed it at the craft and around the craft. and I was hoping to see some beam deviation. I was thinking if the craft is bending time and space, surely it would make the light of a laser beam appear to bend. And that's what I was hoping for. So I'm shining this green laser all around this thing. And then I didn't get the beam deviation I had hoping for. And then it occurred to me, I hope they don't take this wrong and fire something back at us, you know. And I thought, man, you know, we may be two piles of ashes up here on this hilltop and nobody know what happened to us. I thought, man, it's scary pointing this laser at that thing. And then I decided I'm going to point it onto the surface of the craft and see if it reflects it, see if it absorbs the beam, whatever. So I shined the laser upon the surface of the craft. And it was almost like the craft just absorbed it. It didn't reflect off of it like a mirror or anything like that. It just absorbed the light. And I thought, man, it's just absorbing it, Al. I said, my God, man, I hope you're getting this on camera. And I had took my eyes off the UFO and I looked at my friend and he's standing there with his hands on his hip and he's just gawking at this thing with his mouth wide open going, my God, man, what do you think it is? And I'm going, dude, you're supposed to have the camera. You're supposed to have the camera running. And he goes, oh, the camera. And he grabbed the camera and he tried to get it to start recording. And before he could get the thing up and running, man, the whole craft just blinked out. So that was like frustrating, man. There was a perfect opportunity to really catch something and we missed it because he had never seen a UFO. He was just shocked. He was in shock just staring at this thing. You know, as weird as that is, what was really weird happened the next night. I had came home from work and in my house, I live in a pretty old house. It's been remodeled several times and I have a cat named Striper and he's in the house and he's declawed. I come in my house after work that afternoon and I look in, there's no cat. I'm like, where's my cat at? And I go to roaming around the house. There's a huge hole in one of my bathroom floors. And I mean, it's big enough that the cat could have got out. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how the hell did he chew a hole in the floor that big? I was calling him and I could hear him yawning up underneath there. And it sounded like he was right near the hole. So I reached my arm up down the hole and I was reaching around trying to grab him and stuff. And I could hear him yawning. And I was hoping if I could just touch him, I could grab him. And I never could feel him. And I pulled my arm out of the hole. And I looked off down in the hole. And there was these two eyes staring back up. And I mean, these are scary looking eyes staring back up at me. And I'm not for sure if it was a cat or not. And I'm thinking, my God, you're crazy for sticking your arm off in there. There's no telling what that is. So it kind of freaked me out. It's like something's staring at me. But, you know, it certainly doesn't appear to be the cat. So I go around the side of the house and there's a block the access panel that goes underneath my house where all the plumbing and all that stuff is at, the sewer and all that. And the access panel had been pulled back a little bit. And I'm going, well, I know this wasn't like that. I know my cat didn't do this. And I was hoping the cat was still under there, but I just heard him meow. So I started calling him and he came to the opening and I grabbed him and I pushed the blocks and stuff back up. So I got my cat back in there. I got some heavy metal tin and put over the hole. And I thought, man, I was just really frustrated and tired from having to come home from work and do all this. It wasn't really what I was wanting to do at the end of my long day. So I come back in and I got the coal patched up and it's starting to get pretty late and I have to get up really early to drive the truck in the morning. So it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, well, it's time for bed, you know. And now my house, I leave enough lights on. I can get up and go around during the night and I can get a drink. I can get up and go to the bathroom without falling over stuff. So I leave a few lights on. My house is never completely dark. And I was living in my house by myself at the time. It was just me and the cat. I had a girlfriend in Eastland, but she was going to college and we'd have messed up her scholarship if we'd have been together. So she was we couldn't really get married or anything until she got graduating out of college and stuff. So she's living over in Eastland 10 miles away. So I'm living in the house by myself with this cat. So I lay down and I lay down to go to sleep for the night. I no sooner lay in that bed. And then all of a sudden I hear dishes and stuff start breaking in the kitchen. And I'm like, what in the heck, man? This cat is really, really a pain tonight. And I'm about to go up there and see what he's getting into. And so I try to get up out of that bed and I realize I'm stuck. I can't feel anything holding me, but it's like there's some kind of force that's pushing on every time I try to get up, there's like somebody's putting like bags of sand or something on my chest. This is like I can move my arms and I can move my head all right, but when it comes to getting up out of the bed, I am stuck in this bed. And I thought, man, am I having a heart attack? What's going on? I look out the door and I see my cat. My cat is nervously looking towards the kitchen. And then all of a sudden I hear cabinets opening and glasses being knocked over again. And I know it ain't my cat this time because I can see my cat through the doorway looking at the kitchen. So I'm going, oh, man, I got something in the house. You know, I'm stuck in this bed. I can't get up. And then all of a sudden, cat runs in there and jumps in the bed with me. And then about that time, I see something streak by the door. And then something else streaks by the door. And it's moving so fast, all you can see is a blur. Whatever it is moving. I've never seen any animal that I can relate to that moves so fast that you can't see what it is when it's running. And whatever it was just a streak going by the door, a streak going back. And then all of a sudden I looked through the door and in my living room and the cat's on the bed with me and I look at the wall and this thing runs up a vertical wall and runs across it like gravity doesn't even apply to it. And then it occurred to me, I'm going, oh my goodness, this has to do with what happened last night. I shot my laser light at the UFO and now they're retaliating by coming over here raiding my house or whatever. So I'm going, oh my God, I was really hoping it was a coon or a squirrel or something had gotten into the house. And now after I see this thing run across the vertical wall, I'm coming to the reality that this, whatever it is not from around here. And there's two of them and it's almost like they're playing a game of chase. At times I could hear them. They knocked over a lamp on the computer desk. They opened some cabinet drawers and stuff like that. And I hear shuffling through the drawers and then I see them running back and forth. And then it's almost like they got a chase. They were running back and forth after each other. And then all of a sudden, I see a third one. There's a little short creature that's probably about 2 feet tall. He run in on all fours, and he stopped right in the doorway. And I remember this thing stopped. When he stopped, you could see him just as plain as day. You could see every aspect about this thing. And, I mean, he come in so fast, it was a blur, then all of a sudden he stopped. And he's rearing up off all fours. This thing's about 2 feet tall, and it's got a face like a really old man, tight eyes, tight lips, and it's got like an exoskeleton or a body armor on it. And on the armor, it's like there's thorns, like thorn appendages. Like if you grab this thing, it would really tear your hand up. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's got these long arms. Like even when he's standing up, his arms almost touch the floor, and they look more like an insect than any kind of an animal. And I'm sitting there looking at this thing going, oh my God, man. I said, man, whatever they do, I hope they don't come in here where I'm at. And that wasn't going to happen. But he looked back at the other two like he was almost getting on to them for not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, I could hear the drawers and stuff opening again. I could hear stuff being shoveled through. And then he looked around, and then all of a sudden, he kind of looked in there at me. And then he looked back at the other two. Then all three of them shot into the room where I was at and stuck in the bed. They run up underneath the bed, and they're shaking the bed up. The bed is actually being lifted up with me on it, and I was a big guy at this time, man. I had to be like 260, 280, and they're picking me up and the bed frame and the mattress. They're picking the whole thing up. They're picking it up and then they're slamming it back to the floor. So I'm bouncing off this thing, bouncing, and the cat, he takes off like his ass is on fire, and he slides around the doorway leaving, and I'm thinking, well, at least one of us got away. I was kind of like, man, why didn't he have been much of a cat? He would have helped. But he took off, and I can't blame him, man, because I would have liked to have took off with him. And he went sliding around the door leaving, and these things were bouncing the bed. Then all of a sudden, the bed stops bouncing. I can hear them tearing into the box springs. I could hear look like claws or something raking across the wood underneath the box springs. You could see where they had tore into the box springs. You could see scratch marks in the wood, like claw marks or scratch marks, but not like tiger claws where they had dug into the wood, but like something blunt with a lot of force that put deep scratches into the wood. They had grabbed the wire that was over the box springs, and it had pulled on it so hard that it had bent the wire. And like I said, I thought these things are going to kill me. And after a while, you're hostage for a while, and then you get really angry. You get really mad. You're frustrated. You're scared. You're horrified. And then after a while, you get just angry, man. I was so angry. I thought I was going to be in a fight for my life. And I thought, man, I'm going to break free. I'm going to grab this golf club out of this golf bag in the corner, and I'm going to go to town on these guys. And I decided I'm going to break free no matter how much force it takes. And I tried to break free from that force that was holding me, and it affected my breathing. It affected my heart. It felt like my heart was fixing to blow up in my chest. I couldn't hardly catch my breath. I felt like the more force I put out to break this, the force that was holding me, it hurt. Like it would have almost caused me to have a heart attack. I mean, it felt like it almost killed me. So I thought, I can't get free. I tried to do all this. I couldn't. So I just lay there thinking, I'm completely screwed. the laser was being kept in a gun cabinet right next to me. And they had gotten over there where that gun cabinet was at, and it was locked because my girlfriend at the time has little kids, and I always keep it locked so the little kids can't come in there and get a hold of the guns. Well, they had gotten into the cabinet, and that's where the green laser was being kept that I'd used the night before. And once they had got to the point where the green laser was kept, they just disappeared. They stopped. I didn't see them leave. They were gone. And then I had tried to jump up and go on a alien killing spree. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, my body jumped out of that bed, and I cussed real loud, and I grabbed that golf club, and man, I was so angry. And I thought, you know, I had tried to do this 5 minutes earlier and couldn't do it. And now it was almost like they were blocking the signal from between my brain and my muscles or something, because it was like my brain had processed this thing all of a sudden, and it was like my body was like a robot acting on its own. And I jumped up, and all I know is I'm holding this club, and I'm doing what I had tried to do 5 minutes earlier. And I had the club in my hand. I thought, well, you know, now it's time to do what I was going to do. So I went on the alien hunt, and I looked in all the dark corners. Every drawer and cabinet in the whole house was open, in every room. And it was like they had completely searched everything. And when they got to the point where the laser is being kept, the whole thing just stopped. So I thought, well, the laser, you know, has to be gone. They took the laser. So, and then I went back to the gun cabinet and looked at the laser, and I thought, you stupid. I could have had a shotgun. I mean, the gun cabinet, they had unlocked the gun cabinet, and there was a shotgun right there. And here I was walking around with a golf club. So I'm sitting there thinking, Mike, you idiot, man. I could have had a shotgun the whole time instead of this golf club. But I look in the box where the laser is being kept, and there's the laser. They didn't take the laser, but I don't know if they observed it or what they did to it, but the whole thing stopped at that point, and they were gone. And I looked at the house, and I didn't find them. But the heavy tin that I had put in the floor over that hole in the bathroom was pried up. And the screws that I had drilled into the floor to hold it, you could see that they had, whatever they were really strong, because they pushed that tin, that heavy 30-year tin, like you put on the roof of a house. They had bent it, pushing it up to get in and out of the house. And they had pulled the screws right out of the wood. And I was like, man, that, you know, whatever they are, they were strong. They were very, very strong. And then I was like, I really wanted to call the police, but I'm a hazardous material crude oil transport truck driver. And I'm thinking, you know, man, this is not going to be a good career decision to call the police and tell them I'm chasing aliens around my house. You know, I'm probably not going to let me drive the hazmat truck after I report something like this. They're probably going to think I'm hallucinating. I've got really no solid evidence to prove that this really happened. Now, as much as I really wanted to report it and try to get some physical evidence, I couldn't do it because I had too much riding on it. It was too much at stake, you know, so I had to live with this thing. And, you know, I had to go to work the next day, you know, having to go through something like that and then having to pretend like it didn't happen. You know how hard that is on some, you know, that's a lot of experiences like myself, man, that people don't realize how tough it is going through something like this and then having to keep doing your daily routine. I've seen aliens. I've had aliens run around my house, but if I don't pay my electric bill, they shut off my electricity, you know? So I have to keep going on. I have to keep earning a living and doing the things that I do. And it's tough. It's tough on you. And nobody wants to believe you when you tell them that kind of story. It's just too much. People just can't begin to take it in. You know, but I know what I seen. I know I was there and I experienced it firsthand. And they said, "Oh, it was sleep paralysis." Man, I was never asleep. I hadn't even laid in the bed long enough to be asleep. And the cat, I seen the cat come and go. You know, you don't see that kind of stuff when you're under sleep paralysis. Yeah, so it was not sleep paralysis. I don't know what it was, but it was not sleep paralysis. I can guarantee you. But it didn't end there. That's not the end of it. And things got quiet for about a year. I hadn't seen anything in a year. I thought, well, I kind of got the attitude, well, they're done with me. You know, I'm never going to see anything like this again, probably. This is nothing like this is ever going to happen to me again. I thought, scary as it was, it's still pretty cool. You know, I was up close and personal with E.T., you know, seeing UFOs and stuff like that. How many people can say that? You know, I thought it was pretty cool. But having lived through that experience, I mean, I love horror movies and sci-fi horror, but it's no fun to live it. It's a whole lot funner to watch it than it is to live it. And I thought, nothing like this is ever going to happen to me again. But I was working nights in the oil field, had gone about a year without seeing anything. And in fact, this is exactly 1 year to the date of the home invasion, the alien home invasion. I'm out there working, just trying to do my job, and I hadn't seen anything in so long, I really wasn't even looking. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone and pulling up to a oil field lease out in the middle of nowhere down there by Coleman, Texas. And all of a sudden, I seen a lights come on, and I seen a craft rise up over the trees, and this thing was going to pass right over my truck. And I told my buddy, I said, man, there's a UFO here. I got to hang up and try to get a picture. So I hung up with him, and I had my phone. I was hanging out of my truck window up to the waist trying to get my phone ready to take a picture. All the lights just blinked out in this thing, and it had to pass right over my truck.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
But I was convinced that they're still here. They never just going to leave that easy. So I was up there keeping an eye out. And obviously, one of the things I noticed was these little specks of light that it was something I've never seen before. It was almost like little specks of light were in the air just everywhere you look. And I thought, okay, this is odd right here. This is like they're scanning me or something like that. And all of a sudden, I seen the light come on out over the field. And I thought, my God, here's my chance. I got some pictures of the thing. And actually, I got too many pictures of it because I was filling my phone memory up and missed some stuff that happened later because I ran out of memory. But I was getting moved on some pictures now. But these are just pictures in the dark over a field. You know, it's nothing as extraordinary like what happened a little bit later. This thing, the way it blinked out, disappeared, then all of a sudden it went over, and I seen it go down to the ground, and it was probably a couple of hundred yards away, and there was a few trees in between me and it. I decided I'd try to catch a video of it, and maybe I could zoom in, and I could see him walking around on the ground or something over there. So I turned the video on, and when I turned the video on, this thing like leapfrogged like 200 yards, came down behind the trees, and I thought, my God, I just caught that on video. And then the thing, I still had the video running, and all of a sudden this thing took off again, and it traveled a mile in about 2 seconds. Now, I'm a rocket hobbyist. I know my most powerful rocket is barely legal by the FAA, and it takes me about 4 seconds to travel a mile. Well, this thing traveled a mile in 2 seconds, so that tells me that it is way faster than any kind of a rocket. Man, this thing took off, and it made yellow, blue, and green lights the whole time it was blinking and going. And then it got out there and stopped, just came to a dead stop about a mile away from me. And I'm thinking, oh, man, and I got that on video, and I caught it on video. And then it blinked out again. So now they're black again. All of a sudden, this thing, I thought, man, I don't know if they're coming back or not. All of a sudden, this thing about 200 yards from me came on again over the field. And this thing, it came on over the field. And then all of a sudden, and I was like, okay, I'll get another picture. I got a picture of it. And then I started seeing where my phone memory started to get full. I'm getting warnings and stuff. And all of a sudden, this thing starts moving at me. And it's not moving away from me this time. It's not blinking out. This thing is coming straight at me, man. I'm going, oh, crap. I'm not ready for this. And this thing started coming at me. And all of a sudden, I see the disc shape is blocking out the stars overhead. And then, man, I wanted to run through the trees, but my knees were shaking so bad I could barely pull off a walk. And so I run down the stairs of this thing. And I hide underneath the tanks, and I stopped the loading process. I was in the process of loading the crude oil out of the tanks, and I shut the valve and stopped the loading process. And this thing's moving right over me. And then I realized I could look almost straight up, and I could see the edge of the disc moving between the stars straight up above me. and I was really scared for my life. And then I realized I'm sitting between these tanks that could explode from any kind of static electricity or anything. They're really flammable, and I've just sucked oxygen into them, which is going to make it a whole lot worse. So I decided this is not a great place to stand. So I took my wobbly knees, and I wobbled over behind this metal separator, and I was hiding over behind this thing, and all of a sudden this big old light came on underneath the craft, underneath the compartment, underneath the craft, and I thought, oh my God, man, they're coming for me. And I looked around me, and I seen the black trees and the black, how dark it was around me, and I thought, oh man, you know, there's something going to come running at me with slimy hands, and I was just really just scared to death, and I thought, it's done, I'm done, they're going to get me. And I'll probably never get, you know. I thought, man, I just got to get a picture. If nothing else, I can throw the camera. So as much courage as it took, I leaned around the side of that separator, and I took a picture of the craft. Now, what's amazing is in this picture, you can see the lit compartment. You can see something staring out of the window of the lit compartment. And this thing that's staring out of this window, I've zoomed in it as good a picture as I could get out of it. In August 2017, these guys paid me a visit in my home, and I got to visit ET, and we're going to get to that here in a minute. But this one female that was part of the visitors that I met that day, she was actually in the craft, and I could recognize her. I could see the features of what I'd caught back in this was in 2011 when all this happened, March 2nd, 2011, and in August 2017 when they came and see me, I seen that this creature that was in that lit compartment is the same one that visited me in my bedroom in August 2017. It's the same female. I don't know if she's a pilot or what she was, but I got a picture of her. You know, and it's pretty rare to actually see an alien and talk to an alien and then actually have a picture of it. And I actually have this. So I'm sitting here just scared to death. Now, this thing starts backing away, and all of a sudden I can hear the sound of a jet coming. Well, this thing backs off after about 200 yards before it first started its approach. The lights go out on it. I can hear a jet getting louder and louder and louder. All of a sudden, it looks like an F-16 passes right over the top of this battery. And it should have either collided with the UFO or it should have seen the UFO because it went right where the UFO was at. And then this jet circled. I seen it circle, and I could see it. And then it took off and left like it was headed back to Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene. And before this thing was even out of sight, I could still see the light on it. I seen the craft appear back out there over the field. It was like, I don't know what they did, but they just blinked out completely, and the jet never saw any sign of them. And the jet just made a big old sweep of the area and left. What was really amazing happened 10 minutes later. I was wondering if they were going to make another approach, what was fixing to happen next. And I seen this cluster of lights that were up in the sky. I couldn't tell if it was more jets or a group of jets or what it was, but it was almost like it was spiraling down at me, and it kept getting lower and lower and closer, and then it was fixing to pass right over my location, and I thought, this is my chance to see what this is, maybe to get a picture of it. So I go around the back side of my truck, stop the load process again, go around the other side of my truck. All of a sudden, I see that the sky started changing colors. I mean, it was a nighttime sky, dark, black. And then all of a sudden, it started getting light, like fog, like a fog bank. And I could see that it looked like a fog bank with a light shining through it. And then all of a sudden, this big, huge, giant craft started coming out of this fog bank looking thing. And I mean, this thing was huge. It started passing over me. It took 2 or 3 seconds to pass over me. It looked like solid rock on the bottom. You could see impact marks. You could see crater marks. You could see burn marks. And it was 100 yards on each side of me, it looked like, and just passing right over my location. I thought, my God, is this a UFO? Or is this? It looked more like a meteor from where I was standing. It looked like a meteor. It looked like solid rock. And you could see the craters and stuff on the bottom of it. And then all of a sudden, I was looking at it, and I seen it looked like a huge pipe coming out of it, an open-ended pipe. And I thought, well, it's not a meteor. You know, meteors don't have open-ended pipes coming out of them. And all of a sudden, this thing started slowing down. And then it slowed down, and it came to a stop. And this thing is just still, part of it is right over the top of me. And the first part that it had first passed over me starts raising up. And it starts, and now it's looking like a skyscraper raising up in the sky. And this thing is so big that you couldn't help but to see it. I mean, it was huge in the sky. And that first part started raising up, and it kept going and going and going. I thought, my God, this thing is monstrously huge. I got my camera out. I've got my display up. And I'm getting the memory signals, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get one shot at a good picture of this thing. And I'm looking at my display screen. It's not that great of a picture. And I'm like, I want something really amazing. And what I was looking at wasn't a good, clear picture of it. So I had my phone up, and I was trying to get a good image of this thing, trying to get it to focus in where I could take that picture. And all of a sudden, this thing shot off. And it took off so fast, it didn't make any noise. And you could see the fog rushing over the surface of it that it had just driven out of. And it was coming over the sides of it like water over a waterfall. There was huge air vortexes being formed on both sides of it where it created such vacuum by the speed that it was accelerating. And this thing was taking off so fast, I thought, my God, I'm going to miss it completely. I'm going to miss it, you know, the most spectacular sight anyone could ever see, and I'm going to miss it altogether. And I was panicking. And so I held the phone. I couldn't see it in my display screen. And I thought, I'm just going to point the camera's eye at it before it leaves, and I'm going to hit the record button. And I held it real still, and I hit that record button. And I didn't know if I had it or not, but I had it running. And about that time, this thing, it does this weird, it's going away from me, and it just, it doesn't, I don't think it even stopped. It's like it banked. It does a flip. The bottom goes away from me. The top's facing me now. And now, instead of going away from me, it's coming back at me. And it's coming back at me fast. And it's almost like the camera zooming in on this thing because it's coming back at me with the top facing me this time. And it looks like a V-shaped solid rock with a city embedded onto the surface of it. It's the best way I know to describe it. I can see this tower with all these lights on it. I can see these blue neon power lines laid across the surface of it. I can see the structures on the surface of it. I can see lights on different places of it. I can see a row of huge, look like jetting flares that looked like they were burning something off. And you could even see the smoke that they were, you could see the smoke that they were creating from burning. I don't know what they were burning, but they were shooting gas or something out and flaring something off. So it was like this huge ship had some kind of refining process going on. And I was taking all this in, man, and hoping that my camera was catching it all. And then about the time it was getting close enough, I started to think about crawling up underneath the truck and hiding again and just saying, okay, they're close enough now. I don't need to see anymore. That's as close as this thing needs to get. And I was thinking about just throwing my camera down and crawling up underneath the truck and hiding from my life. And all of a sudden, the thing just stopped in its tracks, and it made this big U-shaped half circle. And then it climbed at a 45-degree angle, and it was leaving. And it went from a big craft hovering over the trees to just a dot moving across the heavens in just a couple of seconds, man. I mean, this thing moved so fast. It was just and I was sitting, I was cheering like a high school cheerleader, man. I was jumping up and down and celebrating because, man, you know, forget Barnum and Bailey Circus. This is the greatest show on earth that I just witnessed, man. You know, I just saw this huge flyover of a mothership, and this thing took off, and I realized that I was safe, and they wasn't going to take me, and I was going to survive this ordeal. And I thought, my God, this is amazing, man. So I'm just ecstatic with joy, man, and I'm just praying that I caught some of it. I caught some of it on the camera, and I did. When I looked at the video, I caught the left half of the V. And it's just like I seen with my own eyes, man. The structures on this thing look like buildings that had never been touched by human hand. It almost looks like something that would be built by an insect or something rather than a high technology race of beings. But this thing is huge. These guys, how they have enough anti-gravity technology to fly a huge rock and build a city on it. And I don't know if this is a mining ship or what it is, but this, you know, this thing narrow. It don't. There's nothing about this thing look like it was ever been touched by human hands. So I am certain that this thing is not, has nothing to do with secret government or anything like that. And I've been analyzing this footage and trying to get the most talented people in the world to give this thing some attention. And it's almost impossible because everybody's, it's so hard to believe when I tell them what it is. And they're like, well, it looks to me like you were standing on a hill and you panned the camera across something. And I'm going, you have no idea. You know, I've seen with my with my own two eyes what I recorded. It wasn't like I just found this thing on my phone and assumed that it's a huge mothership. I know for a fact it's a huge mothership, and you need to pay attention to what it is, because probably ain't nobody ever seen anything like this before. If you give it just a little bit of attention, you would find out that what I'm telling you is true, that this is absolutely amazing. I filed an FAA low craft report over this encounter, and that's a felony offense to do something like that. So they could actually throw me in jail for filing a false report. Now, if I'm trying to get attention, like a lot of people claim, oh, he's just trying to get attention, he's trying to build a name for himself, I'm like, you don't understand. I've seen something really amazing, and you're ignoring me. And it's frustrating that ufology is like that. They'd rather believe some old government employee that saw UFO mentioned in some papers, you know, than they would rather listen to and hear and research something that truly amazing that happened right here on planet Earth. At times, it's frustrating to deal with the UFO people out here, man. I tell you what, you know, I'm an experiencer. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't, you know, I tell you what, these guys, they didn't look like they're from anywhere around here. And the ones I seen in my house, you know, they weren't from around here. And they looked like they were like a special ops team or something that was, you know, they used them because they were good at what they do. And they came in my house. And like I've seen, when I started analyzing the footage of the big craft, man, there was some weird looking stuff on there. At one point on there, I seen something really amazing. We were using this software. We got like 7 still frame images of the video that I took, and they were all terrible. But after the smartphone came out, some of the new software was designed for phones, not for computers. So I went from 7 still frame images to 22 still frame images, and some of them images were better than anything I had ever seen. And I started adjusting the contrast and added some brightness to it, and I got some stuff to come out. One of the things that came out, there's something in the background, and I'm not the only one that's seen it. People were pointing it out, going, what in the hell is that? And I started analyzing the footage, zooming in on it, trying to clear it up as best I could. And this thing looks like it's 40 feet tall. It's got big, huge arms that come out of its back. And it looks more like an insect than anything else. And it's giant. It's towering over the surface structures on top of the huge UFO mothership, man. And I seen other creatures on top of the surface that looked nothing like that one. And there's several different things on there that look like creatures, but I can't tell you that they're not statues. I don't know. I can't tell you that it's maybe some kind of a biomechanism. I have the footage, and the footage is absolutely amazing. If you want to see this stuff, you can just type in Ronnie Dawson on Google. And a lot of my stuff will show up right there. Ronnie Dawson UFO. There's a famous rockabilly guitar player. And that's not me. I'm not that guy. But type in Ronnie Dawson UFO on Google Images, and you'll see a lot of my stuff will come up, and you can look at it right there. I also have a YouTube channel called the Ronnie Dawson YouTube channel. I have a book called the Ronnie Dawson UFO Story. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. And, you know, I never wanted to write a book. Not trying. Never tried to really sell the book. I never really pushed the book. But I just wanted to get everything down on paper, because there had been some odd stuff happen that looked like, man, I might get taken out. And my friend that was up there watching the UFO with me, he died like a year later of mysterious circumstances at his house. He had like a heart attack in his bed. And to this day, I wonder if maybe those guys didn't pay him a visit like they paid me, and he tried to fight it so hard that he had a heart attack. And, you know, so I have to live with that every day, that, you know, whatever I encountered, he may have encountered as well. And I told him about my experience and what happened that night, and it really kind of scared him. And he reinforced his locks on his windows and doors and stuff like that after I told him all that. But anyway, we found him in his bed. His heart exploded, man. You know, who knows what happened there? You know, these guys, I seen this and I recorded it. I got the video. I got the footage. I reported it to MUFON. I did the FAA report. The FAA said that every craft in the area had been accounted for it. And they said that I should report my UFO to Newfork. And I thought that was wild, because I had made an extra effort not to use the word UFO when I had filed that FAA low craft report. Cause I thought, man, I don't want these guys to think I'm a quack. So I used craft or whatever. Not UFO. I made a point not to use UFO. And damn, if the final determination, they didn't call it a UFO. They call it a UFO themselves. So I thought that's pretty cool that the FAA thought it was a UFO. And they suggested I file my report to New Fork. So that tells you right there. And something that big has to be, there's like three different airplane tires around there. Dias Air Force Base is like 80 miles from there. Abilene Regional Airport is 68 miles from there. And up in Snyder, Texas, 138 miles away, they have a 600-mile military radar. So you can't tell me they ain't got some of this stuff on radar. And I've tried to access some of it. And they said that the night that I'm looking for and the hours that I was looking for are not available. They said they're not available, but we don't know if they were being used in the FAA low crash report or if they just take them whether they don't want the public looking at them. There's a mystery there for anybody who wants to file one of them FOIA requests. You can file it for March the 2nd, 2011, 10 miles north, east of Coleman, Texas. So you can look in that area about 9 p.m. at night, 8:45 to 9:15, and there should be something amazing on there if they will let you access it. But that would definitely be something to play with for anybody who likes to do the FOIA request. And I'd like to know too what if you find anything. And I thought, man, nothing could ever get more amazing than this, right? Wrong. The next thing I had Buddy Allen at that time was recording the video. And he goes, man, I swear I just saw a ghost right up your shoulder. He said, while you were filming? He goes, yeah, right here while I was filming, man. I said, I got it on camera. Posted the video to YouTube, and somebody on YouTube said, look, man, at I think a minute and 34 seconds, there's some kind of anomaly over your shoulder. And I'm thinking, that's exactly where he said he's seen it. So we looked at the footage, and all of a sudden you could see this weird ball floating around in the room with the light on and a high definition camera running. And this thing does this weird loop and then it shoots right into my head. And then at one point in the video, I'm sitting there talking and you can slow the video down. You can look at my mouth. And when my mouth opens at one point, you can see this thing right in the middle of my mouth, like it's peeping out. And it's very weird. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's just a reflection of light off my ball camera guy's head. Reflecting off the aquarium, I'm making excuses just like everybody else trying to explain. And then I thought, you know, it's just something weird that happened. I can't explain it. And then one night in my house here in Ranger, Texas, I'm fixing to go to bed. The lights are on. I've closed my eyes. I'm trying to go to sleep. The wife is giving the kids are marching on. She said, I'll be here in just a minute. So I'm laying in there with my eyes closed, the lights on. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm waiting on my wife to come back to bed. And I open my eyes in a well-lit room. And above the bed is this mist, this huge mist that's covering up a full-size bed. It's about two feet above my head. And I can see through it. And it covers the size, almost the size of the whole king-size bed. I open my eyes and I thought, my God, somebody burned something in the kitchen. And I'm thinking, I don't smell anything. Because I've got girls that burn popcorn all the time, so I'm thinking they burn some popcorn, but it don't smell bad. And all of a sudden, this thing just it shoots through the wall. It shoots off the bed right through the wall in a well-lit room while I'm sitting right here watching it. And I'm going, that has to be ET-related there. That's got to be some ET-related stuff there. There's no way that could be anything explainable. And this was in the same bedroom in August 2017, about a year after the mist. I was working nights and I come home from work and I usually sleep to about 8 or 9 o'clock the next morning. So I'm in bed and I'm sleeping and I'm dreaming hard. I was tired when I got in, so I'm asleep, but I'm not dreaming. I mean, I'm just out. All of a sudden I had this weird dream, or it seemed like a dream, and there was like two women pulling on my arms, and then I slipped out of the grass and it's almost, and then I fell right back to sleep. You know, I remember I was asleep and then I just kind of dozed off back to sleep again. And the next thing I know, these gals got me by the arms again, and they're pulling on me really hard. And this time, one of them looks at me and says, help us. And I'm struggling to get out of something. It feels like they're trying to pull me out of a manhole or something. I'm not even thinking that I'm in bed asleep, trying to get loose from whatever's got me. And all of a sudden, they finally pull me loose. First thing, I'm standing there going, oh, God, thank you, man. Thank you for helping me. And she goes, look, we're really sorry for disturbing your rest. And I'm like, so no, man, I was like in a bind and you helped me. And they're going, no. I said, we're sorry about disturbing your rest, but we really need to have a conversation with you. And she said, we're not from your world. We're visitors from another place, and we're here to have a conversation with you. And you know, we didn't mean to disturb your sleep. We just really need to have a conversation. And I look around and they said, your physical body's still sleeping comfortably in the bed. And I looked and there's somebody in my bed sleeping. And I'm thinking, I want to see if that is that me. So I tried to take a step. I wanted to walk over to the body sleeping in the bed, look down upon the face. And when I tried to take a step, I fell forward and I put my hand out to catch my weight. My hand landed on my leg, my own leg, actually. And I felt my hand go through my leg. Then I could feel the bone. And then all of a sudden, it felt like I broke the bone. And I felt my hand go through my leg. And next thing you know, I could feel the softness of the bed underneath me. And I'm freaked out. And I pull my hand back up, thinking, man, I just broke my own leg. What the hell? And then all of a sudden, both of these gals grab me and they're trying to walk me out of the bed. And then I look down at the bed and all I see is my knees. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't have any legs. You know, my legs end at the knees and they help me walk out of this bed. And I come walking out of the bed, just wading out of it like you would a pond of water. And I come wading out of this bed and I look down and I can see my legs. I can see my hands. I have a body. I have hands and I can think and I can talk and I can communicate. And I'm like, you telling me you're from another world, okay? And I look at this one, and she's got these huge eyes. I mean, big eyes. And she's really tall, and she's even wearing, like, clothing. She's got, like, yoga pants and, like, an athletic shirt on. And I look at the other one, and she's got, like, these blue jeans on and a white blouse. And I look at her face, and she's got this beautiful blonde hair, but where her nose is, it comes to like a cat's nose, and she's got like a cat's mouth, and she's got these whiskers on her lips, and they're trimmed like, and it almost looked like porcupine quills sticking out of her upper lip. And I'm going, oh shit, these are not girls from around here, you know? And I'm sitting there talking to these people, and I'm coming to realize that, oh my God, she goes, look, you know, where we're at is like a rift between the dimensions from where we're from and from where you're from. And she said, this is a place where we've been observing you. This is a place where the people of your world are going to meet the people of our world, and you can move to solid matter here. She said, that's the reason you had trouble in the bed. And I'm sitting there going, wow, okay. And I said, so I guess guns wouldn't work here. And they kind of looked at each other like, we have guns that work here, but we would never shoot you with them. And I'm going, well, that's okay. That's nice. And about this time, my wife goes walking through to the bathroom from the living room. And I'm going, well, I'm sitting here talking to two aliens. My wife just walks through the bedroom and doesn't see us. And I'm like, why don't she see us? And she said, they can't hear or see us. She said, they can't hear or see us. And we can, you know, we can observe you from here. And we've been observing you from here. But people from your world, they cannot hear or see us from here.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
And I'll see my wife, she comes walking back out. She comes walking back out, but this time she stops kind of at the foot of the bed. And this one alien looks at the other one and kind of freaks out. Like, she's kind of looking at our direction. She says, can she see us? Alien says to her, she goes, no, she's not looking at us. She's looking at him, and she points at my body sleeping in the bed. And I asked my wife later, I said, you know, why do you do that? And she goes, well, you know, you have sleep apnea and I worry that you're going to stop breathing. And she goes, and sometimes when I go to the bathroom, you know, I'll pause. And when I see your chest go up and down, I know you're okay, you know. And I thought, wow, you know, because I never knew that she did that, but I seen that firsthand. My wife left, you know, I go on talking to these, and they were talking about, they found in our world, nuclear testing shot light and radiation off their planet, and they had been attacked. They had been at war with somebody, and they had used the interdimensional weapons. They had opened like stargates and shot the weapons from another dimension or something. They had destroyed a good section of their planet, and that they had a defense system set up. And they said, you know, I said, we're afraid that your nuclear testing is going to set off our countermeasures, and we're going to feel sorry for you if it does. And she goes, that's one of the things we're going to communicate to your government once we open up a line of conversation. I was like, I understand, you know, how this could happen. But I've always heard people say, you know, if you ever get a chance, ask them how they got here. If you ever get a chance to talk to aliens, ask them how they got here. So I was like, okay, I'm going to ask Seth, you know, can you show me? Show me how you got here. Show me where you came from. She goes, yeah. She goes, but she also told me, she said, we're going to need a genetics. We'd like a genetic sample from you. She goes, you'd really be helping us out if you could just provide us a genetic sample. I was going, yeah, I can do that. I want to do this, man. I'm like the representative for every man, woman, and child on the planet Earth. You know, yeah, I'll give you whatever you need. I'll take one for the team if I have to. You know, whatever. You know, as long as you and us can be friends and we can get the kind of technology that they have, yeah, man, I'm willing to go to any length. You know, so I said, but can you show me where you got here? Yeah, we can show you. Look, in fact, she said, all you have to do is walk through this wall, and she pointed at the wall right next to my bed. And this is the same wall that the smoke I was telling you about went. And this smoke left the room. And she said, just walk to that wall. And I was going really slow because I have a picture right there. And it has a glass in it. And the glass was hitting me in the face. And I was just scared to death that it was going to break and cut my face. So I was going really slow. And she sounded kind of frustrated, like they might be on a time limit or something. She's like, just go. You'll be fine. Just go. Just go. And so all of a sudden, I move me through the wall. I feel this glass going through my face. I can feel the sheetrock of the wall going through my stomach. And I tell you what, it's an unnatural feeling. It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't. You wouldn't want to just stand there. It doesn't feel natural. You could feel it passing through. Like, my intestines know what it feels like to be in my stomach. My intestines have never had sheetrock pass through it before. So it's just a very odd, uncomfortable feeling as I was moving through this wall. And then inside the wall, I could feel texture of the wall change. I could feel a stud inside the wall going through my right shoulder. And it was like harder to get through that part. I had to like struggle through the harder wood part. It was like I had a, you know, I have a little bit, I don't know how to describe it, but you have a mass, but it's not a lot of mass, and you have to struggle through stuff, like walking through the bed and stuff like that. Struggle through the wall. You can't just move through the wall easily. So I was like struggling through the wall, and I could feel the 2x4 went right through my right shoulder. And then we had a little confusion. I don't know if she meant for me to walk through the wall or she just meant for me to look on the other side of the wall, which I think is probably what she meant. But I walked completely through the wall. I ended up falling into zero gravity outer space. And I'm sitting there floating in zero gravity doing this slow forward flip. There's this odd looking planet off to the left of me. And up in the nighttime sky of this place, it looks just like our sky, except there's many, many more stars. And in fact, there's a huge, gigantic galactic center in full view of the nighttime sky there. And you can see all the suns around this thing. And you know, definitely I realized that there's a giant black hole there in view of their nighttime sky. And you can see all the suns being sucked into it. And it's like getting a close-up view of a black hole. And I looked around, there's lots and lots of stars in the sky, not like our sky, way more populated with planets and stuff. And I look, and then I see what I think is a sun. Then I realize it's a moon, and it's catching the light off the sun that I can't see. So I'm actually looking at the dark side of their planet. But the dark side of their planet, because there are so many lights in the sky there, they can never get dark like it does at our nighttime. I mean, you can still see the land masses. They had like three big continents, and it had thin oceans, and then it had a big desert area. And I kind of think the desert area was the area that they were talking about that had been attacked through the dimensional gateway that they were talking about. It looked like a huge desert area, and there was thin forest areas, three thin oceans, about three major continents was all I seen, and the planet seemed like it had a hell of a fast spin to it, because you could almost see the planet spinning underneath me while I'm doing this slow forward flip that was almost making me sick. But I didn't need air to breathe, and I wasn't cold. Like, if you were really in outer space, you'd be dying because you didn't have air. You'd be freezing because it'd be freezing cold, but I wasn't cold. I never felt hot or cold. And apparently you don't need air to breathe, because I was taking everything. I thought, this is important. Take it all in. Nobody's probably ever, the first human being probably to ever go to this place. So I'm taking it all in and trying to remember it all. And I'm seeing this black hole. It's just scary looking and amazing at the same freaking time. And I'm looking at this planet trying to record it. And I'd actually drawn sketches of it. Yvonne Smith told me, said, man, draw this stuff on paper so you can look. And a lot of my drawings and stuff I've drawn is what I saw when I went to this. I'm doing this forward flip. I'm coming back up, and I'm thinking, well, you know, now I can't see what's ahead of me, so I can look back behind me. I can see where I came from. I can see what Why did I come from a spaceship? What the hell? What the heck is behind me? So as I'm doing this slow forward flip, I'm looking back at from where I just came from, and it's a black, perfectly black box floating in outer space with no lights on it whatsoever. And I had just walked out of this damn thing. And I'm thinking, you know, this has got to be like a, I don't know if it's a ship or if it's a dimensional gateway or what the hell it is, but apparently my bedroom is inside this thing, and I had just walked out of it. And so I'm taking all this stuff in, and I'm starting to get sick because this ugly rocky moon goes floating by, even though I kind of start to feel like I'm kind of getting sick to my stomach, man. So finally, somebody reaches out and they grab me by the shoulder, and I grab both hands trying to help hold on because I don't want to slip away, man. I'm afraid I'm going to slip out of their grasp and go floating off into outer space, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm trying to help them, and they drag me right to the wall, right back into the bedroom. And I'm thinking, my God, thank you. Thank you. I've seen all I wanted to see. It was amazing that, you know, I was glad to be back in my bedroom with these two gals. And so I'm sitting there going, oh, thank you. You know, that's amazing. I said, wow, yeah. And they were going, yeah, that's the tall one with, she had kind of a light blue skin. She had this ruby glued to her, it looked like it was glued to her cheek. She had a tattoo looking flower on her left cheek. She had looked like a diamond that was like glued to her forehead. And she had like yoga pants. And she said, our world has been watching your world. And in fact, your world has already affected our world. She said, the clothing we're wearing are designs that have become popular on our planet from viewing your people in your planet wearing them. She said, they became popular. She said, they're made from fabric on our planet, but the idea and the concept of the clothing came from your planet. She goes, but they thought, like, we love them. And she felt of the pants, and she was like, so soft. It's like the yoga pants were like so soft. And she made this funny looking face at me when she made it. And I thought, man, this is the oddest thing anybody's ever seen. And the other one had this white blouse on and like designer jeans. The tall blue one, at one point she told me, she said, you know, tell the people of your world when it comes time to meet the people of our world. And this is like this is like rule one for intergalactic engagement, I guess. And she said, we only ask one thing, is no physical contact without permission. In other words, they don't want you grabbing them, touching them. She goes, some of them don't mind physical contact. Other ones don't want you touching them, I guess. So they wanted me to let everybody know that before you make physical contact with them, whenever you meet them, to get a verbal consent first, apparently. Something to that degree was the way that I took it. So, and I thought, yeah, it makes perfect sense, you know. And they said, yeah, we're working on the means to meet you. They said, we'll communicate our conversation to the others. And then when it come time, she said, you know, it's time to leave. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I get back to where I'm at? So I go, and she said, well, you just lay on yourself and you should go back. So I went over and laid down on top of myself in the bed. And, okay, I'm just laying on myself and nothing's happening. So I'm like, hey, it's not working, ladies. I wonder why it's not working. I'm thinking, okay, they're not very good at this, apparently. So, and they said, okay, well, get back up. So I stood back up, and she said, okay, now leap onto yourself. So I leaped onto myself, and this time it felt like I fell 10 feet. Man, my stomach like flipped out. And when I hit, man, I mean, I could feel the hit. And I woke up in that bed, and I looked, and I realized that I'm back in my body. And I looked around the room, and the lights of that room are exactly the way it looked just a few seconds earlier. And it was almost like I couldn't believe that I couldn't see them. I had a feeling they were still standing there. They were still standing there looking at me, but I couldn't see them for anything, you know. So I almost kind of waved at them like, hey, you know, thank you. And I looked at them, couldn't see them. The lights were the same. My wife was wearing the same clothes that I seen her wearing when she walked through the bedroom. And right there inside the wall, I took a stud finder and I checked the wall out. And guess what? Right there where I'd walked through that wall, there's a stud in the wall. But it would have went through my right shoulder, you know, and I thought, you know, this is not just some weird dream. This has to be the real deal. Plus me seeing the UFOs, we're getting the pictures. No, this is real deal. This is real deal encounter with some real deal aliens. And I've been telling the world, letting people know that they're watching us. They're observing us and they're here and they want to make contact and they're looking forward to contact. And so it's going to be some exciting times. So I'm hoping I'm still alive to see when all this happens. And I guess people will finally believe my story once they get to experience it firsthand. And that's the end of my story, folks. And thank you for letting me share it here on UFO Chronicles.
Thank you, Ronnie, for sharing your interesting encounter with our listeners today. Really appreciate you coming on, man.
Well, that's it for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, give the show a share. It really helps the podcast to reach more listeners. And if you've had an experience and you'd like to come on the show, my email address is ufochronicles@gmail.com. Till next time, stay safe and watch the skies. Have a great weekend, guys.